Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for those one pair of hands. The pair of hands that spread wide on a cross to bring us salvation and to bring us into the family of God. Father, open our eyes. Open the eyes of our heart today to see Jesus, to hear your word, and to give glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Yesterday we had a family at our house who has participated in something that we have not. They participated in something called adoption. And I don't know if you know anybody who's been adopted. Well, of course, I don't know if you all know Miss Sherry Burley's been adopted. But if you've ever seen that process happen and seen the way that adoption works, I've kind of watched. We do some things with this particular family from time to time. We play Ultimate Frisbee together and do some things with our families and our children together. And one thing, as I was reflecting upon adoption last night, this morning, thinking through this idea is, you know, children don't do anything to earn adoption. You know that. It's not like children fill out a form or jump through a certain set of hoops to say that now I'm worthy of being adopted. What it is parents seek to love someone, and they find someone and place their love upon a child. And it's a beautiful thing to see in my friend's family that this adopted child is a child of the family. It's not a separate entity, but it is one like the family. And as I thought about that and reading through the text this morning, I thought, the Bible calls us adopted sons and daughters of God. Romans chapter 8 says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, I can tell you, not everybody calls me father, but my children do. And adopted children do. And adopted children have the same privileges and rights as the begotten children. So let that sink in for a moment. And let me say it again. Adopted children have the same rights and privileges as begotten children. You catch what I'm saying now? You, Christian, are adopted children of your Father and have the same rights and privileges as the begotten Son of God. No wonder Paul wrote to us and said, "You have not received the spirit of fear, because you are a child of God." If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open up to 1 John chapter 3. We're racing through 1 John. Nobody laughed out loud. Okay, some of you laughed through your mask. We're racing through 1 John. We've made it through 2 chapters in 10 months. And now we get to the 3rd chapter, 1 John chapter 3. As you're turning there, let me read to you once again, as I've done every week this year, because I think it's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I invite you to say it with me if you're able. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Amen. We're in our season of truth in 2020, and a truth today that we need to understand is that we are adopted children of God. Not begotten children of God, because who is the begotten child of God? Jesus Christ, the Lord. But in a beautiful way, the Father has brought us into the family of God. And we used to sing a song when I was growing up in church. We are a family, something, something. Yeah, it's called the family of God. It was a chorus we would sing. And we would sing it during our greeting time. So it's like shaking hands and we're singing we're the family of God. It was our tradition in the church I grew up in. We are a family serving together, living for Jesus, looking above. Come join his people. My wife probably knows all the words. Family of God. And what does that mean? Well, it's a truth that the scripture teaches us. No, we're not begotten children of God, but we are adopted children of God. And that means we are part of the family, Christian. And that's what John blows his mind in chapter 3. And I can say that because he uses an exclamatory word here. And you all have probably learned grammar. So go back in time. You remember, an exclamatory statement is something what? Something that is exciting. Something that it proclaims a truth or an expression with emotion involved. Wow! Golly! Or, oh no, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, man. You know, something like that. Well, here it is. And his word is, behold. For y'all with your King James Bibles, pull them out, underline it. Behold. ESV uses look. Or I know ESV uses see, rather. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. And I looked at this Greek word, and just a quick study, and what it is it's a word that says, study this, or let this sink in, or stare at this. And the idea is, just take a pause and let it sink in. We visited a lot of things this last couple of weeks. We went to the Creation Museum, and you'd stand at these incredible displays and exhibits, and you just have to let it sink in for a minute and go, that is amazing. You walked up to the Ark there in Kentucky, and you see it, and you go, whoa. And you'd walk inside, and you'd see the door there, and the door represents Jesus. And you'd see it there, this door. And knowing that the Lord shut the door, you just look at it, you go, oh man. This is the scripture coming to life. We've studied it, and now it's here. And you see it. Behold, see, look. And the truth that just hits John. Take a step back and wow. What kind of love the Father has given to us. For most of you in this room, you've probably experienced in some point in your life an incredible love that you don't know what to say. You're taken aback. You've seen love demonstrated in some way where you don't know how to respond. And I think that's what John's got going on here. And that is what we, as we look at the work of Jesus and as we take this bread and this cup and we go, oh man, I don't deserve this. But look, see, behold, what kind of love the Father's given to us. So Christian, may I encourage you to take a step back and examine the love that God has given to you to adopt you into his family and to give you the rights and privileges that his son has? You can think about your love for your children, those of you who are parents. And you can think, that's just a taste of what God can do. Oh, the depth and the height and the breadth and the width of the love of God, Paul exclaims in Romans chapter 8. Neither height nor depth can separate us from the love of God. Think of the love that God has placed upon you, Christian. Sinner, God loves you. Repent. May that love draw you to a place of humility where God can save you from your sin. Behold, what kind of love the Father has given to you, Christian. A special love that he does not have for the world. It is a special love that God has given to you. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. That we should be called children of God. I know that many of you have not grown up maybe in the perfect family. Many of you may have even grown up in a family that's been tough. So let me, in the best way that I can, communicate to you that there is no greater blessing that we can comprehend than being part of the family of God. And if family is not something to you that you say, this is precious to me, then let me encourage you that the family of God is perfect. And God is perfect in his love for you. I watched yesterday a young man who was a 5-star football recruit from Louisiana. And he was deciding between, should I go play football at LSU or should I go play at the University of Alabama? And all week, I'd kind of followed it a little bit. And all week, I'd heard he's going to Alabama. He was a lock. He was going to Alabama. His cousin played linebacker for LSU recently, Trev Falk. You might know him. His other cousin was on the coaching staff. Famous running back, Kevin Falk. And he had to decide, where's he going to go? And he got up to the podium. And this 5-star recruit, Don, you probably know what I'm talking about. This 5-star recruit, does everything for his football team. Gets up to the microphone and starts to weep. Starts to weep. Big football stud weeping at the microphone. Can't even get words out. And he says, I cannot leave my family. I will be playing football at LSU. I can't leave my family. I was emotionally just hit by that. Not because LSU got a great recruit, because this young man, 17 years old, recruited by all the top schools, Clemson, Alabama, all the contenders every year, said, I'm not leaving my family. This is part of me. Family. Family. And this is a fallen world family, y'all. This is not even the love of God kind of family. Christian, does your devotion run deep like that young man? Does your heart say, I cannot abandon my family? I'm part of the family of God. I will do whatever it takes. But I am not abandoning my family. I am not abandoning. God has called me as a part of his family. He has placed me in the family of God. And I will not abandon my God and my brothers and sisters. I am with you. Behold, what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And so we are, Christian. Romans chapter 8, I alluded to it earlier. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what, church? Children of God. Christian, you're the family. You are children of God. And if children, then you are heirs. You are inheritors in the family. You have the rights and privileges of the begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. The kingdom is yours. And I'm not saying that to say, hey, you're rich, you're rich. Go exploit your riches. I'm saying you are part of the kingdom of God. God has given these things to you for his glory. You are fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. I could go on forever, but notice, y'all, you're an heir, but right now you're suffering with your family. And times are not great for Christians. But we'll get to more of that in a moment, because they will be great for Christians. For all eternity, you are making an investment that's better than the stock market. Another passage, Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. What's the call, Christian? To suffer with Christ and to imitate Christ. To suffer with Jesus and to imitate God. One more, Philippians 2. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you might be blameless and innocent, child of God. You're a child of God, but you have a role to play, and that is not to be stained by the world or united to the world, connected to the world, drawn down by the world. You are blameless and innocent, child of God. That is the calling of God of your life. If you're a child of God, then live it and be an imitator of God. Oh, the word of God speaks so clearly. You are children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. You see that? Recognize it, y'all. Don't try to fit in this world and in this culture. Call it what it is. And call yourself who you are, a child of God without blemish in a crooked and twisted generation. And that is why the claim, or my desire this year, has been truth in 2020. Know who you are. Know the world that you're in. And call sin, sin. And call righteousness, righteousness. And live it out. The Christian life is not complicated. It may be hard, but it's not complicated. And then he says this, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Child of God, you represent. You represent. You shine as a light. You shine as a light. Last night we were outside and Ash looked over at me. We were walking around our neighborhood. Ash looked at me, he goes, it's usually dark when we're walking around at night, but not tonight, it's bright. Remember that? We looked up, and what did we see, Ash? We saw the big, full moon shining down on us last night. I love the moon and what it says for us. Y'all considered the moon, right? What is the moon? Does it generate its own light? You know the moon. What does it do? It reflects the light of the sun. And y'all, it couldn't be any better. We are little moons. We are moons reflecting the light of the Son of God, proclaiming to all the world, showing a light. And if you need to know that the sun exists at night when you can't see it, what do? You know, all you have to do is look at the moon. Now, the world needs to know the sun exists. So what do they need to do? Look at you. Look at me. And know that we are being blameless, spotless, purifying ourselves as He is pure. Verse 4. That's the call that John's given. Look how loved you are. You're part of the family of God. Now be pure and holy and spotless and blameless in the world. Little moons, adopted sons and daughters of God. You are moons. Verse 1 finishes with this statement. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And we know that Jesus, John 1 tells us, He came unto His own, but His own did not what? They didn't receive Him. We know that. The world didn't receive Jesus. Y'all, this is not a newsflash. They're not going to receive us. And this is a challenge for me sometimes, personally, is I don't need to try so hard to fit into the world. Don't. I don't need to try to make sinners happy with my beliefs or my behavior. I don't need to impress people that have a different worldview and a different ideology. That's not my job. If I can, I'd like to take 1 minute and walk through a passage in John chapter 8 with you, speaking of children of God. And I want to show you how Jesus responded to people and about adoption, if you will, and about family. So if you have your Bible, John chapter 8, verse 39, I'm going to begin there. And I want you to let Jesus' words do the talking today. Because I can't offer anything better than what Jesus said. Jesus said this. He's debating with some Jewish people, leaders there. And like often in John, we see the arguments that are going on between Jesus and the established religious leaders. They respond back to Jesus and say, "Abraham is our father." So Jesus says back to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." Claiming Abraham as their father, and Jesus says, "You're not truly Abraham's children." What does he mean by that? Jesus is not looking at their family tree, but he's looking at what the true children of Abraham are, and those are children by what? By faith. Because the children of God are the children with faith like Abraham. And Paul works this out in Romans chapter 11 and 10 and 11, 9, 10 and 11, in that area, if you want to go study it some more. It's not about a family tree, it's about a family faith. Verse 41. You are doing the works that your father did, or you are doing the works your father did. They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." They tried to take a shot at Jesus and his virgin birth and say he was born of immorality. And they say yet again, "We have one Father, even God." And so let me draw your attention to this. Jesus makes it clear that not everyone who claims to be a child of God is a child of God. Let me remind you. Not everyone who claims to be a child of God is a child of God. And then Jesus makes it very clear that a claim doesn't make anything true. Y'all figured that out in our day and age, right? We got a lot of claims going on, especially in election season, that we know are not true. A claim doesn't make something true. The truth validates true claims. And this is what Jesus says immediately following. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." If God were your Father, you would love me. So track with me here. What makes a child of God? What makes God your Father, according to Jesus? In computing world, we call this an if-then statement. And when we're testing data, if the criteria is met, then do something to it. And that's part of what I do regularly. If this happens, then do that. Well, Jesus is saying, if you were a child of God, you would have love for me. This is important. Because children of God are defined by their love for God. Children of God are defined, as Jesus says, by their love for God. So let me ask you a very simple question. Do you love Jesus? If God were your Father, Jesus said, you would love me. Do you love Jesus? Many in this world we live in today try to modify Jesus into some other Jesus because they don't love Jesus. They don't love the Jesus of Scripture. They love their own version of Jesus. And I'm not asking if you love a version of Jesus. I'm asking, do you love Jesus as revealed in the Scripture? What's the greatest commandment, church? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The greatest commandment for you to love God. Do you love Jesus? And this is not necessarily a simple question. Because sometimes we feel like, well, I kind of like Jesus. Let me ask you, though. Because when I got married to my wife, you know what I decided? I decided that in order to love her properly, I have to abandon my love for every other woman in the way that I love my bride. Right? That's what marriage is. Jeff, you agree? Do you love Jesus? And are you willing to sever your love for other things in order that you might love Jesus appropriately? And this is what the gospel comes in and teaches us. Didn't Jesus say, unless you hate your mother and father and brother and sister, You have no part with me? And that's what he's speaking. He's defining the kind of love that we need for him. It is a kind of love that abandons our love for this world, our love for our lineage, our love for our identities, and says, I'm willing to sever those in order to love Jesus properly. That's Christianity. So I ask again, if I may, do you love Jesus? Are you willing to abandon or turn or change your mind about other things in order to align them with your spouse, your spiritual spouse in Jesus Christ the Lord? If God were your Father, Jesus said, you would love me. The true love for Jesus is an abandoning love. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. You remember him? He had all sorts of things, and Jesus said, oh, I'll show you what you love. Take all you have and give it to the poor. And what'd the man do? He didn't love Jesus. He loved his stuff. So I ask you again, do you love Jesus? Man, I want to keep going. Let me read this verse. It's from 2 Thessalonians to underscore. You can study this one more, y'all, later. Let me read it. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to what? To love the truth. And so be saved. Did you see it? Jesus is calling us to love him, but not just like him a lot. He's calling us to love him in a way that severs our affections for all others. Jesus said, if a man puts his hand to the plow and he looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom. If your love is divided or distracted, imagine, if you will, a sports player. Well, take basketball. Let's say that a New Orleans Pelicans are playing, and one of their players, every time he gets the ball, he's doesn't know if he should pass it to the guys on his team or the guys on the other team. You would say, what is that player doing in the game, coach? Get him out. Christian, our devotion is to the family and the kingdom of God. We are a family of God. Do we love God and love our brothers and sisters in the way that we ought to? Or are we pouring into the world's system? Those are hard questions. Do you love God, child of God? Those of the world refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And watch the judgment that God puts upon them. Notice this. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion, so that they might believe what is false, in order that all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now those are hard words. The Bible's not all easy words. Those are hard words. And Jesus gives hard words to follow up in verse 43. Why do you not understand what I say? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. And so I want to stop at this point and say, Christian, you're a child of God. Live it. Love Jesus. examine those things and where your love, it might be fainting or waning. And evaluate your love for Jesus. Are you willing to abandon whatever it takes to be a follower of Jesus and continue to take the cup and the bread? If you're not a believer today, if you do not love Jesus in the way that you ought to, Jesus always gave an invitation for those who were willing to come to him and to be saved. So the invitation is there to repent of your love for other things and place your love on Jesus and express your love for Jesus as a child of God. And I invite you to pray to him and to ask for forgiveness for your false love and to express your true love for him and to come into the faith and to rejoice being part of the family of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we might be called the children of God. Praise the Lord, church. We are children of God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you, we praise the name of Jesus. And we praise the name of you, our Father, who has drawn us into fellowship. And we say, behold, God, you've loved us. You've made us your children. Praise the Lord. Lord, redeem souls today. Help us to love you properly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.